And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are we doing?
We're doing fine, although I was very upset last night that the U.S.-Canada women's hockey game started at 10.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, they didn't make it.
What's that?
I didn't even make the start
time. I didn't
time.
Either, but I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was like 2-1 U.S. So how did it end up? I don't know how it ended up.
You know, now that you
say that. Do
you
know how it ended up?
I don't know how it ended up either, but I'm going to look it up right now.
It's weird that they're – I mean, it's cool that they're going to play more than once because it's an incredible matchup every time.
Yes.
But the fact that they're in the same group, I think, is a little bit weird. But, you know,
The Canadians won.
Canadians did come back to win.
Yeah, 4-2.
All right, well, when they play for the gold medal, we'll see if it's a different story.
And let me tell you this, they will play for the gold medal.
Yes, they will.
Because there's no one close to those two teams in this tournament.
That is true. That is accurate.
I was out to dinner Sunday night, and I guess U.S. was playing Switzerland, and it was 8-0 was the final. I don't know that Switzerland ever had the puck in the offensive zone. I was watching a lot of the game, and I was like, wait a minute, they still don't have the puck? Wow, they're down 7-0. They still don't have it. Never had the puck the whole time.
And you would think that, like, there would start to be some progress, especially from countries that, you know, that love hockey.
That play hockey. Yeah.
That have hockey. I mean, basketball has – I've seen basketball come a long way, you know, in Europe, internationally, in terms of being competitive with the United States. But, yeah, a little more competitiveness would be good, but as long as the U.S. and Canada are going to meet every time
awesome.
In the Worlds and in this, it's always an incredible game.
Michelle Knezovic, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. I have my large coffee, guys.
How's that going?
So on the coffee train, we're good. Did the one coffee yesterday, no nap.
It's impressive.
But did not work out this morning. So
I don't blame you.
We're one and one right now.
Oh, the workout plan, right, right.
50% is pretty good, to be honest with you. If you could stay at 50% of your days that you work out, probably doing okay.
Well, here's the thing. Haven't really worked out since the summer, so.
a little sore? Feeling it a little bit.
Well, if you start like on February 1st, then you're only 0-for-8. You can be 1-for-9 if you work out tomorrow.
That's right.
So you can quickly become, you know what I mean? You can quickly make up that ground. Let's just start there.
Okay. Yeah. And I have to, so yeah.
Well, that's good. You got the coffee though.
That's right.
The one coffee.
That's right. I got a text, and I promise we won't get to this too much today for your sanity. But I got a text last night at 9:01 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
from Jared Stillman.
Oh, goody.
It was just a screenshot of a quote from Tom Brady. And it says, quote, "You never say never. I don't know how I'll feel 6 months from now. Tom Brady on the possibility of coming out of retirement." This was the text I got at 9:01 p.m. last night from Jared Stillman.
So we're bouncing. So that's
back to Brady.
It's back to Brady? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Stephen A. gave Jared some
entire show worth of fodder yesterday.
Doses of oxygen yesterday. I'm like, Stephen A., what are you doing, man? What are you doing? But that's where apparently a lot of the national folks are sort of on that train now. Rodgers, Titans have got to do it.
Yeah.
I understand.
I get
it. I understand when you look at them why you would think that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers posted a picture on Instagram yesterday of him and David Bakhtiari working out. It says hashtag off-season workouts. What does that mean? Is he coming back?
Well, that is kind of interesting because he said on McAfee, right? Sort of like basically, you got to make that decision quickly because it's because of that,
yeah.
Right? Like if he's not coming back, then he's gonna be on a beach somewhere, right? So
I would think, or hanging out in Franklin in the woods.
That's right. Or building the master bath in Franklin, whatever it is. So maybe
hand constructing.
He's building
the house by himself.
Good workout. Yeah. Well, he's coming back, right? Well,
I would think so.
Just say it. Just make it official.
I would think so. I imagine we'll probably hear something to that effect relatively soon.
Isn't he on Pat McAfee today?
I don't think he'll be on there today. He's not going to do every Tuesday in the off season, but he'll be on there probably pretty soon. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front. Joe, it is Super Bowl week. Bengals and the Rams coming up on Sunday. I'm looking up at Good Morning Football right now. They've got like 19 different people that have been on the television screen in the last 30 seconds. So lots of coverage out there in L.A. What intrigues you the most about this matchup? How do you think the country views this matchup between the Bengals and the Rams? Is there excitement that there's new blood? You have two quarterbacks and, quite frankly, like really two teams that nobody really hates yet because there's not been a lot of winning that's been done. What do you think of this matchup from that standpoint, from the, how the country views it and how you view it heading into this game on Sunday?
That's a good question on the country. I don't really know. I guess you're right on the Rams. Although I would say the McVay thing would make them certainly more hateable than the Bengals, right?
I mean, other than Titans fans who are mad, hates the Bengals?
Right, like Chiefs fans, Titans fans.
I guess Browns fans.
Yeah. Steelers fans, I guess.
I guess now. They used to laugh at the Bengals.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But now the Bengals can actually hold something over them. I don't know. The Rams, I still feel like they're, you know, with Jalen Ramsey, with Sean McVay, although I think there's a lot of likable guys on the team like Aaron Donald. I think Stafford seems to be a pretty – that's an interesting debate that I've seen is like which is the better QB story, because you know Burrow is going to be an annual, you know,
contender.
Yeah, for whatever you want to talk about in this league for a while, and he is coming off an ACL for a team that wasn't supposed to make the playoffs this year. But I think Stafford's story is also intriguing. I mean, I think it's part of one of the better storylines of the Super Bowl. But, how much excitement is there? Would there be more excitement for either Bills or Chiefs, you know, against, like, the Packers, you know, or something like that? I mean, that would have been a more expected Super Bowl. I mean, like, if the Titans were in it right now, obviously it would be very different here than elsewhere, but I think there'd be probably a similar feeling around the league. I think Bills or Chiefs, one of those two teams, you know, were supposed to make it.
Yeah.
I feel like people have kind of caught on with the Bengals thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
A lovable underdog.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game too. I think it's going to be a great game. I really do. I mean, I love Joe Burrow and the way that he plays the game. You know, obviously he made some comments yesterday about his advice to future athletes moving forward
good.
Of keep your workouts off Instagram, do your work in silence, all those stuff. Like Joe Burrow, I think a lot of people love some Joe Burrow right now. I've always liked Joe Burrow, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in this game. I like Stafford. I really do. Like I think Stafford's a great player. I think he's always been a great player. We talked about this before the season when I was yelling at you about him and Russell Wilson. I mean, we got into an argument about that. So far, it's looking like you won that argument, man. Here he is.
Hey, quarterback in a better team.
He is doing that.
But he is. I think he's better than a lot of people thought. I mean, you know, it's like, why would you watch the Lions unless you had to, you know? But if you did, or even if you want to go back to when he was at Georgia,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they got the ability was always exceptional. I mean, that's why he was the number one pick. but, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you – like, Stafford is a pretty likable guy, you know? And I've always thought that. But yeah, Lions fans are kind of in their feelings with all this. But you know, just be happy for the guy. Got away from your crap organization.
I was gonna say most Lions fans rooting for the Rams in this game, right?
I think so. I mean,
are there some that are bitter? They're like, you go somewhere else.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Some that like, why didn't he do it here? It's like, well, because you're the Lions. But if you don't want to face up to that, then that's on you. You know, start with ownership.
Yeah. Tell you what. It's amazing how important that becomes. You know, even here, I mean, I think back to, it's not necessarily always, you know, correlated to success on the field. I mean, there have been some bad owners who have had some good teams. But long term, like being a consistent winning franchise, ownership's pretty darn important. And I think we've seen that firsthand here in Nashville with what it was like this time, I don't know, 10 years ago, and what it's like now, light years different with the Titans franchise.
Well, and then that's the, you know, and what has happened with the Titans? Well, I mean, look at the Lions, for example. I mean, there's where you have hope if you're a franchise that's had, you know, traditionally, you know, bungling ownership is like that someone in the family will at least, you know, like have a clue and be able to pull you out of it because, you know, everybody begs for this owner or that owner to sell their team, and usually it doesn't work out for you, you know. I mean, the NFL is just – I mean, Daniel Snyder just keep on trucking, man. You're the Commanders
now. He's now the Commanders.
Yeah. But sometimes you do have a situation where just like an individual within the family emerges and does a really good job. So that's what's happened here. It could happen elsewhere. And sometimes it may not.
It may not. I don't think that's sure. Can the Bengals defense pull this off again? I still watch the Bengals defense. And I think back to the first half against Kansas City, and I'm like, oof, man, they struggled. They turned it around, obviously made some adjustments, played well in the second half. Can they pull this off again against this Rams offense that seems to be playing pretty well right now? And by the way, how about like the resurgence of Odell Beckham Jr. in LA? It's been pretty impressive.
They're not here without it. And that's why I like the Rams, because I feel like the Rams have the most balanced offense they've seen. I mean, the thing about the Chiefs is they don't care about running the ball. And so you're up 21-3, and you're going to keep doing what you do. And so you end up having some nice quick three and outs and let the game change. And I think with the Rams, with Akers now back, and Michelle's a nice, you know, I think they're really running the ball well to go with everything they're doing, plus Beckham. And that's why I like the Rams. I think that, look, the Bengals' defense has been way better than I would have expected. I thought the Titans were going to go up and down the field on them. Thought the Chiefs were going to go up on the field on them. They did for a half.
Yeah.
I think the Rams are going to have the most sustained success. But I think it's a pretty potentially high-scoring game as long as Joe Burrow can put both feet on the ground and drive through some passes before Aaron Donald, you know, throws him to the sideline.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Super Bowl, the NFL season all comes down to this, Super Bowl 56, with the Rams taking on the Bengals, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking all customers up with a risk-free same-game parlay. New and existing customers can place any same-game parlay of three legs or more on the Super Bowl, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund you. Same-game parlays combine multiple bets from the same game into one wager for bigger payouts. You can build your parlay your way with spreads, money lines, totals, Super Bowl props, and more. I like the Bengals on the money line. Give me Joe Burrow over on passing yards. Give me Matt Stafford over on passing yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. New customers, join today with promo code ROB to enjoy 56-1 odds on either team to win in the Super Bowl. You can turn a $5 bet into $280 in cash. Once again, that promo code is ROB. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I was super surprised at the hire, and obviously what Jeff just alluded to about it kind of being out of left field. I'm happy Lovey is getting his opportunity, but as I've said about the Texans' job all along, I would love to know the contract and how it reads and what the plan is for this organization going forward. Last year, you hired David Culley as a stopgap for whatever plan, and that gives me a little bit of an issue as well. You had a whole damn year to determine what candidates you would go after to be your head coach. Obviously, Culley wasn't a long-term plan, and it feels that way about Lovie Smith. The other side of that is I'm happy Lovie Smith gets an opportunity to be a head coach once again, to prove himself to everybody else around the league, as if he needed proving himself based on all of the success that he's had. So that's where I am. I'm almost hot and cold. I'm glad a black coach got hired as a head coach, but I'm not going to disbar the situation in which he's hired in and a franchise that seems to have no clear direction on what they want to be or where they want to go.
That was Marcus Spears from ESPN on the hiring of Lovie Smith as head coach of the Houston Texans. That coming out and being made official yesterday, Joe Rexroad. Lovie Smith has been named head coach of the Texans. So he was on the staff last year with David Culley. They fired David Culley after 1 year where I think you and I both thought, given the roster, did a pretty darn good job in his first year. But it looks like the plan was just to fire him all along after his first year. They dismiss the entire staff. All of a sudden, Lovie Smith is back. All of a sudden, they're interviewing like five other candidates, and then Lovie Smith gets interviewed, and now he's the head coach. What in the world's going on down there? Like, what is happening with the Houston Texans?
I have no idea, but this just feels like another stopgap hire.
Yeah.
So, if that's what you're going to do, then why'd you fire David Culley? I have no clue. They have no clue. They are, I think, possibly the most inept franchise in sports. Am I being a little dramatic?
Well,
there?
I was going to ask
that they're in the running right now.
Could the two most? And I'm not. I know the immediate, you know, clap back to this is going to be, have you seen the Detroit Lions? And I get it.
It's always a good clap back.
Could right now, today, could the two most inept franchises in the National Football League be in the Titans division? Jacksonville, Houston.
I don't think there's any doubt.
I think there's a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, the Lions have they've got a strong claim over a long period of time. You know, the Browns have had a strong claim. They've become, you know, they've found a way to have competitive teams. The Lions had some competitive teams not that long ago too, until they fired the coach who, you know, wasn't good enough at 9-7 because Jim Caldwell, we're looking for better than that, and they've gone to the toilet. But I think with the Jaguars, with whatever Trent Baalke, whatever pictures he has of whoever,
it's unbelievable
that keep him in that job to the point where he now has been able to hire four coaches in 4 years. You know, and then the Texans, just complete bleep show. Yeah, who else out there right now would be in the running? Obviously you look at like the Jets and Giants.
I was about to say,
they're in there. They got a shot.
I mean
the Washington Commanders. You know, certainly, like their saga. You know, it's also like, okay, let's take a, you know, if you got a serious scandal here,
right?
That's got to give you some points in the discussion, right? And I'd say that like the Washington one is more than anything. But then again, the Texans and Jaguars have their share of. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff. They've got every flavor you want. So I'd say they're right in there. It's good to be in their division.
Well,
if you're the Titans or Colts.
Look, obviously, like if you're Lovie Smith, I mean, I'm happy for him. Glad he's gotten a head coaching opportunity. But isn't a little part of you, if you're him, looking around saying, okay, I saw what you just did to David Culley. I don't know what the language of his contract looks like and all this stuff. But aren't you a little bit worried if you're Lovie Smith of, does it really matter what I do next year? The roster's going to suck. I think we all know that. Does it really matter what I do next year? Are they just going to fire me after next year and try to go find a better candidate? I know that would be in the back of my mind if I was Lovie Smith.
Well, right, and are they just going to go get Josh McCown because apparently they're enamored with Josh McCown?
Yeah.
Like, would anyone else out there please interview him so we don't look stupid for hiring him, even though he's never like coached a single day at any level of the NFL? So is that what they're going to do? I mean, look, if you wanted to – and by the way, I was wrong, and I should have known I'd be wrong. I thought that Brian Flores would – even with the lawsuit, would get hired, but the Saints didn't hire him. And, I mean, if the Texans wanted to make a more long-term hire, there he was, a guy who has ties to people in your organization, but didn't go there. So, yeah, I think you're right. Lovie Smith has to look at this suspiciously. But, again, I wouldn't expect him to turn it down.
No.
Because, look, if you have this opportunity and all of a sudden you shock the world and go like 9-8 next year, well, then –
It'd be hard to fire you at that point.
Would be. Well, they may, but you've also helped yourself for the next one. I mean, Lovie Smith, did a pretty good job with the Bears. Did not get it going with Illinois, but, I mean, that's a tough job too right now. So, can't blame him at all. I mean, I don't see why he's not going to turn that down. But, yeah, he's got to know. Like, basically, he looks like just stopgap part two, which, again, makes zero sense at all that they would do it that way.
New Orleans hires Dennis Allen as their head coach, who was on the staff with Sean Payton, has been a good defensive coordinator. He gets the head job in New Orleans. I did think that maybe New Orleans was finally going to be the place that Eric Bieniemy landed, and they interviewed him for apparently 8 hours on Sunday. But in the end, you go with Dennis Allen. Like, I don't dislike the hire of Dennis Allen. I think he's a fantastic defensive coordinator, and you know, I think he deserves a shot at being a head coach. But here, I mean, we would talk about Eric Bieniemy for what, 3 years, 4 years in terms of head coaching candidates, and he still doesn't have a head coaching job. It just continues to kind of boggle my mind at this point.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to find this tweet now. Someone put out there all the teams that I can't find the list, but 15. So he's had interviews. Is that right? He's had 15 head coach interviews in the last 4 years and can't get a job, man. I don't know. You can't make someone hire someone.
I would assume his interviewing skills have gotten a lot better over that time.
Right.
Got a lot of practice.
My goodness. Every possible, like, tell me your strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. You know, my weaknesses, I work too hard and I care too much. Michael
Spend
Scott.
Too much time in the office.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just too much of a perfectionist. It's pretty wild, you know. I mean, it's great for the Chiefs. They keep just bringing them back. And things are going pretty well, I'd say. Although they had some rough patches this year, didn't ultimately get where they wanted to go. But it's been a pretty successful tenure for them. So I don't know. That's a wild one. So Aaron Glenn, Bieniemy, and Flores all interviewed with the Saints, and then Dennis Allen gets the job. It's hard, you know. The internal candidate often has an edge.
Sure,
if that candidate is good, and like you said, Dennis Allen's really respected.
Speaking of the Saints, it's been a tough 48 hours for Alvin Kamara. Obviously, he was in Las Vegas for the Pro Bowl, and reports coming out that Alvin Kamara got into a fight the other night and has been charged with a battery charge. That details came out yesterday. Apparently, he and the people he were with got into a fight with a man, knocked him unconscious, and allegedly fractured his orbital bone in a fight. So, obviously, Alvin Kamara, with local ties here, playing football at the University of Tennessee, been a very good player in the NFL for a while now. Apparently involved in an incident in Las Vegas a couple of nights ago after the Pro Bowl. Not good. It's probably not going to be like the biggest deal in the world for Alvin Kamara based on the reporting that's been done on this, but not a good look nonetheless for number 41 out there.
No, really surprising for one thing. And reading the details of it, you know, I guess like the guy tried to get in the elevator with them and just some shoving. You know, it's 6:30 in the morning in Las Vegas. So I think this was the day of the pro. He got interviewed by police right after the game. So I think this was the day of the game. So 6:30 a.m. you know, in Vegas. I don't think it was like everybody just getting up to go to the breakfast
buffet.
Yeah,
he's getting up to go eat some pancakes.
Yeah, you know, nothing good happens after 6 a.m. in Vegas. But yeah, that's disappointing because it's just something you would never expect from Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, see how it all plays out. But according to the police, like, you know, the press release, like the video, there's video of all of it. So looks like he's going to, you know, be punished here. And hopefully the guy is okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like a nasty injury.
It does. Does not sound very good on that front. So, some interesting news following the New Orleans Saints all around, and we'll see what comes of that situation from Alvin Kamara. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans. Look at the wide receiver position. How much attention should John Robinson pay to that group in the offseason? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Ty texting in says, as a lifelong Lions fan that turned all the way to the Titans over the last 10 to 15 years, I'm so excited for Stafford. I'll be donning my number 9 Lions jersey. This is as close to a Lions Super Bowl as I can get. This comes from Ty.
There you go.
I don't think he's alone there.
Yeah. No, I think that's the prevailing sentiment. Brennan's got a Stafford 9 jersey, but of course.
They going to put that on?
I don't think it would fit him anymore. Well, from a few years ago, but
Go get him another one.
Maybe I'll put it on. Have a little half, a little midriff.
Crop top Rex Road.
Crop top. Be good stuff.
By the way, real quick, When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin?
That's what it was.
Hell yes. Great song off Led Zeppelin 4. Also the box set.
You're expanding if my musical taste.
Yeah.
I mean, Zeppelin, you got to get the lead out, you know? Everybody should like to get the lead out.
Yes. What a great phrase. That's good stuff. So, Joe, we've obviously spent a lot of time talking about the quarterback so far this offseason for the Titans. I think it's pretty apparent at this point, at least from the Titans' point of view, that he's going to be back and will be the quarterback next year. So I go back to comments that Mike Vrabel made immediately after the season in terms of we have to be great around Ryan Tannehill. And we've talked about that and the many different ways that you can go about doing that if you're the Titans. My question for you is specifically the number two wide receiver, because obviously when they made the trade for Julio Jones, we thought the Titans were set there with A.J. Brown being the number one, Julio being the number two, 1A, 1B, however you wanted to term it at that point. Thought the Titans were pretty good at number one and two wide receiver. Julio Jones could barely stay on the field in the regular season. Now, he did have a good game against Houston. You know, when they threw him the ball, other than the interception against Cincinnati, played well in that game as well. So there were signs of positivity towards the end of the season for Julio Jones, much like there were signs of accuracy from Ryan Tannehill throughout the season as well, according to Mike Vrabel. My question for you is, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, knowing that money is tight, knowing that your draft picks at the moment, you don't have a second-round pick, there's a lot of options with your first-round pick, should you address the number two wide receiver position in free agency or the draft? Or are you coming into next season rolling with Julio Jones and taking your chances that he's healthier next year and that he can be the number two wide receiver? How do you think the Titans go about handling this?
I mean, looking at the – I think, first of all, you have to. You have to upgrade. Again, like, I think Marcus Johnson could have been a really nice addition to the receiving corps this year. He was briefly. He was good in the New Orleans game, but he's just – he's had consistent injury problems, so it's hard to count on that. They need fresh blood and explosiveness. And as far as free agency, I mean, we're going to have Shiel Kapadia on later from The Athletic, and he's got a great list of – controversial list, too, to me, and maybe in this town, of top free agents. And, of course, number one on that list, Davante Adams.
Yep.
But, I mean, I went through the numbers and figured out how they can keep Landry – which would also be keeping Julio Jones. I mean, look, if you cut Julio Jones after June 1st, you know, but again, you still have to make the numbers work. I mean, I think Julio Jones is going to be on this team next year. But I think you have to get, to me, someone in the draft. Like, I mean, there's some good receivers out there. Mike Williams is a free agent too, by the way.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin is a free agent. And I think some of these guys, like Godwin, I think is going to be back with the Bucs. That seems to be the expectation out there. But who knows? Allen Robinson, you know, Odell is a free agent again, you know. So, like, there's a lot of good options. DJ Chark is a guy you shouldn't forget about him. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, in 19 and 20, he's pretty good. Christian Kirk, guy who victimized the Titans here. You know, so there's a guy. I don't see where the money is. I can't find the money. Michael Gallup is another one. I can't find the money. So, I mean, it's Smith-Schuster, your guy Valdez-Scantling. There's a lot of receivers out there. But I think you got to do it in the draft. To me, I think the best use of that first-round pick, you know, look, if you've got a QB that you absolutely love and you can pull it off, okay, well, I think that's a forward-thinking way to do it, and that at least addresses this QB situation in a reasonable way. Without blowing everything up like you would, you know, like you'd have to do to a large extent to go get one of these big guys out there. But to me, if that's not it, I would rather see them get a wide receiver than anything else in the first round, because I just don't think the tight end position necessarily has first round level players in it this year. I mean, Jameson Williams, yep, if he's there. That's pure speed, too, which just haven't had.
Well, and to that point, like, to me, if you're John Robinson, I think I agree with you. Like, I think Julio Jones is going to be on the team next year. But I also think if you're him, you have to view Julio Jones at this point in his career as, all right, if he can stay healthy and give you consistent production, that's great. And maybe he's a good number two at that point. But, like, the expectation when you traded for Julio Jones, I believe, if you're John Robinson, was we still think he's an elite player and he could be a difference maker on this offense. And I just don't see that. Like, I don't see that happening again in Julio Jones's career. So the expectations have already changed with him in my mind. If you're John Robinson, I think you view Julio Jones almost in a way as a bonus this year. Like, if he can stay healthy and be productive, that's great. But I'm not counting on that if I'm John Robinson. By the way, happy birthday, Julio. Today is his birthday. He turns 33 today. So,
well, there you go.
Happy birthday to Julio Jones. But to me, if you're J-Rob, like, I don't know how you could watch his last 2 years where he gets hurt in his last year in Atlanta, misses half a season. You know, he could barely stay on the field this past year with you with the Titans. And you just think that's all of a sudden going to magically get better next year? It could. But I'm not counting on that if I'm the Titans. So, I agree. Like, I understand the temptation that's there, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the draft. Maybe you do love a quarterback, and you have to go that route. Maybe you do. But if you're truly, intent on being as good around Ryan Tannehill as you can be, I think another option at wide receiver has got to be a priority for the Titans. And to your point, if it's not in the draft, I don't really know where the money's coming from in free agency to bring in a true difference maker. So, maybe it is a Jameson Williams. Maybe it's somebody else in the first round. But if I had to pick a position today that I think the Titans are going to go with their first round pick, I think it's going to be wide receiver. That's just me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways they could do it. I think I'd go wide receiver.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, to me, it's wide receiver or offensive line would be my top two guesses. Just based on who should be available there. And, again, you mock drafts, you take them for what they are. But especially after the Senior Bowl, the Brooklers of the world, I mean, they start to get a pretty good feel for generally where teams have players slotted. And yep. I just don't see a tight end.
You see a middle linebacker? I think Titans are going to take a middle linebacker with her.
Who was it that they had?
I don't know, but it flashed across the ticker yesterday. After Corey Curtis said that, I saw it come across the ticker, and it said Titans at 26, and I don't remember who it was. It was some middle linebacker from Georgia, and I was like, okay, I don't think that's happening.
Well, look, I mean, if Zach Cunningham is not going to be re-signed, which John Robinson made it sound like he sure is, but if not, then that's on the table because you're down to Long and Rice.
Yeah,
you need another one. You need a third guy, and you need another. You get a young player on a good deal, a club friendly deal. But yeah, it sounds like Zach Cunningham. So again, Zach Cunningham coming back. I mean, who's they're tight. Then they're tight. Even if they renegotiate that, they're tight with money. So I just what am I doing with the mic here today?
I don't know. You're really passionate over there.
What's up with that? Anyway, I think it's got to be in the draft, and I think those are the two most likely things based on how players slot down. Dude, what is happening?
I don't know.
This is
studio's
your mic's
falling apart.
Moving. Robbie got electrocuted. Yeah,
almost died earlier. It's good stuff. Great start to the show today.
Just wait till the Arctic air starts pumping.
I know. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Devin from Dover texting in says, Jameson Williams is perfect for the Titans. He has breakaway speed, and he's coming off a torn ACL. It fits John's plan.
There you go.
A lot of people getting shots in John Robinson picking hurt players.
Yep.
He addressed that.
He addressed that in the interview with Ben Arthur. I mean, he's talked about it before. But
I will say, though, like if you're – I mean, Jaylen Waddle looked pretty good this year for Miami. Like if Jameson Williams is completely healthy and it looks like he's going to be on track to play, I don't know that I would mind seeing the Titans pick Jameson Williams. Now, if he's healthy – I don't know that he's fallen that far in the draft either, but I don't know. Could be an option there for the Titans. Maybe you move up.
Yeah, honestly, the jokes will be. I mean, the jokes will be flowing if they go there. But boy, I would not blame them for going there. He is. I mean, look, dude, what is happening right now? I'm serious.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know what I can do to make this stop.
I don't know. I'll take a look at it.
We need to go to break so I can fix the props. Like, I can't move my arms now. But so, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson from Penn State is a burner. Now, he's small, but he's a burner.
He is.
Some good options out there at that position.
Should the Titans pursue a number two wide receiver this year in offseason, whether it's via the draft or free agency? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll see if Joe Rexroad has a nervous breakdown on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. .1025 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Be listening during the 8 a.m. hour today for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday, February the 20th, and access to the Fan Zone as well. The winner will be announced on Friday in the 5 o'clock hour with Stillman and Company. And be sure to catch the Daytona 500 on 102.5 The Game, Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris on the text line says, someone go inspect the chairs. Do not let Joe Rexroad go down again. Let him go down again.
That's a good point. I've got a folding chair.
There is a backup
here, just in case. Okay, so let me just make a point. Smash my hand. Yeah, I think I fixed it, man. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, nice.
Part-time radio host.
Part-time handyman.
Rob the builder.
That's right. Well, you're versatile, aren't you? You're doing some
stuff. I'm doing some cabinetry after work today.
See?
Yeah,
there you go.
Getting after it. Hey, man.
Do it all, man.
That's what we do here on the program. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ty texting in. Who's coming off an injury at wide receiver? Jameson Williams. It's a guarantee. So Ty is guaranteeing that Jameson Williams is the pick for the Titans and that he will be the number two wide receiver for this group next year.
Well, let's not forget George Pickens.
That's true.
From Georgia. He came back for, if you guys remember, like the very end of the year, and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy would have been pretty ridiculous this year. So now he has now
recovered.
So is that –
did that slide him down the board a little bit?
I don't know. Does that hurt him?
Oh, I do love these jokes.
Yes.
In all seriousness, J-Rob, if he picks anybody that's had any injury history, which, by the way, go through the list, it's hard to avoid that in football, but if he picks somebody that's coming off a torn ACL this year, Titans fans are going to go berserk.
Let's see. Let's go through his picks. Okay, Conklin, no. Now, Corey Davis did have a broken foot at the time, so that counts. Adoree, no. Simmons, yes. Rashawn Evans, no.
By the way, the Jeffrey Simmons one's worked out pretty well.
Jeffrey Simmons one's worked out all right. Isaiah Wilson wasn't hurt.
No, he was not.
So maybe you should go after people who are hurt.
Caleb Farley. Skiatika.
That's right.
Andrew on the text line says, you go tight end with your pick.
Yeah, but again, you don't want to reach in the first round if there aren't any tight ends who have first-round grades, which appears to be the case. So I think a tight end, like if you list what's the priority, I probably would put getting – I would put getting a legit number one long-term starting tight end, I would put that number one before receiver. But it's close because I think it's really important that they get a new young receiver in here too. But – it's just there just isn't really any. Now, maybe they disagree. Maybe on their board, no, actually, everybody's underrating this guy. You know, the Trey McBride guy is a very intriguing prospect. But the way the draft grades are looking at this point, and there's still a combine, and there's still movement that's possible. But, a tight end may be something that you get later. Now, last year, I think they potentially could have gotten some tight ends, and some tight ends got taken before they picked a couple times. So, got to keep that in mind too. I mean, maybe you bail out of the first round and you get back into the second round, and then there's where you take your tight end if you can do it.
Well, and to that point, the tight end is obviously becoming you know, with each passing year, more important in today's NFL in terms of, you know, the versatility. I mean, especially the upper echelon tight ends. But to that point, Travis Kelce was taken in the third round. George Kittle was taken 146th overall. Like, you can find tight ends later in the draft. Now, it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes you need to find one in the first round. I get that. And make no mistake about it. Like, if the Titans get through this offseason and they're not significantly better at tight end, or at least there's not a hope of being significantly better with somebody maybe that you've drafted, that's pretty disappointing if you're a Titans fan at that point. Because, I mean, the tight end play last year, it wasn't good enough. I don't think anybody has any illusions about that. So tight end is a priority for this team. It's just got to be at the right spot in the draft. And again, to your point, like if you're sitting there at number 26 overall and the tight end that you want is ranked at like number 45 on your board, like you can't pick him there in the first round.
Yeah.
And I guess you could.
You got to stay true to it. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, so yeah, you've got those guys, superstar tight ends who were picked low. And then you have, I mean, I could have promised you that O.J. Howard is going to be a great tight end in the NFL. You know? And you obviously don't know. Jalen Weidermeyer, Texas A&M. I mean, that's like some of these guys are, you know, low second round grade type players. Again, you can have your own evaluation, but you got to stick true to it. And I'll be surprised if the Titans have anybody graded as a first round tight end. But they've got to address it, no doubt. They got to address both of those things, along with offensive line, somewhere.
Yep.
The question is where and then why, because we don't know what they're going to do with their existing contracts up front.
Seth Lake on Twitter says, Julio is a complimentary piece at this point and unreliable due to injury concerns. I think you draft someone and develop them under AJ and Julio. This is coming from Seth on Twitter. I don't have any problem with that strategy. I agree. Julio kind of is a complimentary piece at this point. Look, if he can stay healthy next year, is there still a level to his game that he can get where he could be a big difference maker? Probably. I don't have any confidence that he can stay healthy. And even when he was healthy this past year, which wasn't a lot, but when he was, it still didn't feel to me like the burst or that explosion was there consistently enough. And, you know, if you watched Julio Jones play throughout his career, you know, it didn't take much for Julio Jones to just blow past somebody. And, you know, at 33 years old with the injuries that he's had, I just don't know if that's ever going to be the case again with him as he moves forward.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, he's still, again, I thought in the year before he got here, he looked at times very much like vintage Julio Jones. Not much of that last year. But I think the end of year Julio Jones, you know, if he's part of a receiving core, you know, with A.J. Brown taking another step as a star in this league, and then you have a good young talent in there as well, and Julio Jones can be sort of like the two, helping bring along a young guy to be the two at some point, and he plays like he did against the Texans and you know, even in the playoff game. I think that's still – it's not worth, you know, the $14, $13 million cap hit, okay?
And the second-round pick.
But, I mean, at least then you're getting – I mean, it definitely increases what your return is from the whole thing. And to remind you on the Julio, yeah, the cap number is 14.3. The dead money's 13.2 if you cut him before June 1st. So, you know, it's very likely that he would be. Now, post June 1st, it goes
4.8?
Down to 4. Yeah. But again, that's problematic too in managing your cap anyway. I mean, it's 4.8. So I think he's going to be here, and the Titans need to hope that they recoup more value from the huge move they made. I mean, that move, of course, is also why Ryan Tannehill is a lock to be here next year.
Brian on the text line says, I would love to see George Pickens get drafted by the Titans. He's a physical receiver with sure hands and one of the best at in-the-air adjustments, not to mention just the excitement and swag that he brings. This is coming from Brian on the text line, who I assume is a Georgia fan.
Look,
George Pickens is really good.
Yeah. George Pickens should not be forgotten in this. And had he not been hurt and had he had a full season of production in that offense, I think that he'd probably be higher on the board, the popularly agreed upon mock draft board. You know, I could see him being a first round pick because someone looks at him and says, yeah, that guy's, you know, he's recovered now. Look how he played at the very end. He didn't get a lot of opportunities, but he made some big plays. I think he's got all the tools.
I got a texture that says, Robinson always wastes the first-round pick. Might as well trade it. He kills rounds 2 through 7. It's coming from a texter on the text line. We're going to hear a lot of that. I understand it. He's got to hit better in the first round. I will say the always is a little bit much. They do have Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep. Conklin Simmons. Pretty good. Those would be his best 2 first-round picks.
But there's no question. It's got to get better. We don't know about Caleb Farley. Like, it was a disappointing first year. Obviously, he was hurt. And, you know, I think the easy response to that is, well, yeah, he was hurt. He's been hurt for the last 2 years. Why did you draft him there? I get it. We'll see. The jury's still out on him. In all seriousness, there's no question. Like, the Titans, they got to get a little bit better of a hit rate with their first-round picks moving forward.
Yeah.
Have to.
But you go ahead and use them if you got them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the best strategy moving forward is to just move away completely from first round picks.
But look, like this year, if they are able to get out of there, especially like if they're targeting like a tight end or something, or you know even an offensive lineman, which I know people would be like, no, but you got to keep that in mind as a possibility. Then that could be the right move this year.
Chris texting in says, just imagine if we still had Corey Davis blocking for us, how good they'd be.
Is that a shot? Is that a shot at wide receiver blocking?
One can only hope. If Corey Davis was blocking important. In that game, Ryan Tannehill could have thrown 5 interceptions. Wouldn't have mattered. They just scored touchdowns.
Hey, receivers blocking matters, okay?
It does. When we come back, we've got a little this or that, Preds and Titans edition, coming up on the other side. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.